program, I'd like you to turn to the back of the program, and you'll see the scripture we're going to follow very closely today. Very back of your program. Our scripture comes from 1 John chapter 1, verses 5, 6, and 7. I'm going to be reading it from the New King James Version. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5, 6, and 7. And it reads, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, Jesus the light, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins." So I want to spend just the next little while speaking with you on this subject, fellowship with the light. As we look at this passage of scripture, the apostle John talks to us, and he says some things that will be helpful to us as we make our way into 2026. It's going to be helpful in our own lives and in the lives of others that we care about, and be helpful for our nation. We look to ask God to light up this world with his love and his grace. And so this passage from John, he starts out, and I'm going to go right to the first part of the outline there. He says this is a direct report from Jesus Christ. A direct report. Jesus says it, John says it this way, "This is the message which we have heard from him." This him he's referring to is Jesus Christ. This is the message from him. So this is the direct report from him, him meaning Jesus Christ. This is the direct report from Jesus Christ. And what Jesus Christ says, and he says, this is a direct report we heard from him and declare to you. So God gives it to John through Jesus Christ, and he says, this is what Jesus Christ says. This is a direct report from what Jesus Christ says, that God is light. That's the report. That's the message that he hears from Jesus Christ. This is the message we get from him, that God is light. Now, with that message that God is light, he wants you and I to make sure that we grasp that in our lives, so that the light of our God is to be shining in our lives at all times. God is light. And so he gives this message now, and he's giving it as a person of faith. He's giving it as a man of love. He's giving it as a disciple of Jesus Christ. He's giving it as one who loves God. And he declares to every believer and to everybody else in the rest of the world, he declares that God is light. And so that's the message that we have. We have the same message that the Apostle John has. We want to declare that message. And it's best when we can declare that message without words. It's most important when our lives say God is light. If you have to use words, you've already diminished it a little bit. Because God is light whether we say it or not. And we want to make sure we say it not with our words, but with our lives. The way we live. And the way you can tell light, particularly in troubled times and in dark times, the way you can tell that there's light is that it always moves the darkness. That's why when I go in a dark room, the first thing I look for is the light switch, because that light will move the darkness. Now, if I hit that switch and the light don't come on, I'll say, uh-oh, got a problem here. Because the light should come on, and the light, every time the light comes on, it moves the darkness. And so if you say to me, if I say to you, I'm the light, and I'm still walking in darkness, my life still has a lot of darkness. It has me cursing every day. It has me lying regularly. It has me stealing. It has me cheating. It has me doing things that only people in the dark do. Then I say, you don't have the right light. Because light is supposed to move that darkness out of us. If you practice any of those things, that means you need to get more light. And this is what John is saying to these believers. He said, now God is light. And he's calling us out of the darkness into the light. And so John, he starts this by telling us God is light. And then he says, and in him is no darkness at all. There's nothing dark in him at all. And so anytime I start acting dark, it makes me know I'm not acting like him. Anytime you start acting dark, you're negative. You're anti this and anti that. You always see nothing but wrong in the world. Then that means, my brother and sister, you don't see the light. Because when a person is in the light, a light will recognize light. When I used to play basketball, I say used to. I could tell when I came across another person that played basketball. We used to call it having game. They had game. And when I saw them play a little bit, I said, oh, yeah, this guy, he's got some game to him. God says, now, as a Christian man, as a Christian woman, as a Christian teenager, you ought to have some game. You don't have to go around saying, I got game. You just get on the court. It's going to be evident whether you got any game or not. You know, I was wondering about our Rams yesterday. Oh, my goodness. I was hoping they could show up and prove they had some game. At the last minute, I'm glad it was just enough to get them to the next week. And so God says, what I want you to do, I want you to have some light in you. And to have that light, he says, I don't want you going around preaching you got the light. I don't want you declaring you have the light. He says, what I want you to do is make sure you don't have any darkness at all. And so for that, my brothers and sisters, I'm asking God to help me. I pray that he will help you, that we do not have any darkness at all. That's something you can't do on your own. That's something you're going to need God with. If you're going to live where you have no darkness at all, that means you have to be living in the light all the time. To have no darkness at all, that's a man, that's a woman, that's a teenager that's in the light all the time. I hope will be your prayer in 2026. Ask God to help you to have the light all the time. I know some wonderful Christians here, and they're beautiful, wonderful Christians as long as they're in church. They say the right words. They don't use any curse words. Not in church. They're kind. They open the door to people. And they're just so nice in church. Our challenge is to make sure we're that way when we leave church. When we leave the building, let the light of Christ go with us. If you don't curse in church, and I hope that you don't, then you shouldn't curse when you leave out the church. Well, at least agree to work on it. Yeah, work on it. Because we want to make sure we let the light shine. And Jesus Christ has said, now, if you will walk with God, God then will let his light shine in your life. So the direct report, and this is the first part of your outline, the direct report from Jesus Christ is that God is light. Then he tells us in verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him, Jesus the light, if we're going to say we have fellowship with Jesus Christ, who is the light, And Jesus Christ is the light, and we should have fellowship with him. He says, and walk in darkness. if we walk in darkness, if we use words that God is not pleased with, if we act in ways that is not becoming to our God, then that's walking in darkness. When you're one way at church and you're another way when you leave the church, that's walking in darkness. If you are sober at church and then get drunk at home, that's walking in darkness. You know, there's a lot of ways to get drunk. You don't have to drink alcohol. You can, there's other stuff. You can smoke. You can shoot up. You can do a lot of stuff to make you act unchristian. And so if you're acting unchristian, then that means, my brother and my sister, you're walking in darkness. If you're single, then you shouldn't be sleeping around with other people. And if you're married, you should only be sleeping with that one person you're married to. And if you're doing anything other than that, then you're walking in darkness. We have to decide we're going to live our lives in the light. Whether anybody else sees it or doesn't see it, we're still living in the light. And when we live in the light, my brothers and sisters, we then have fellowship with the light. We have fellowship with our Christ. You see, when you walk in the light, God will start revealing things that you didn't even know were in existence. You'll start seeing things from God's perspective. You'll start discerning things that you didn't discern before just because you're walking in the light. And so it's important for us to decide, the second point outline is very important. We have to say we have fellowship with the light and we're not walking in darkness. Because if we walk in darkness, John is, he's a very tender apostle, but he also is very direct. And he just directly says, if we are walking in darkness, then and we're walking in, say we're walking in the light, but then what we're actually doing is walking in darkness. It says it here in verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with him, Jesus the light, and walk in darkness, he says, this is what you are. You're a liar. This very tenderhearted, beloved disciple just very bluntly, straight out says, you walk in darkness, but you say you have fellowship with the light. You are a lie. Now, you might have other titles. You might be a pastor. You might be a politician. You might be a lawyer, a doctor, a tent maker, whatever else you might be. But he said, but one thing you are is if you say you fellowship with the light and you walk in darkness, you are a liar. And then he continues. It's not only that. I thought that would have been enough. He says, and you do not practice the truth. You're not walking hand in hand with the truth. Remember now, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Now, you're not practicing walking with him, not if you're walking in darkness. The truth, he says, is not in you because you're not practicing. What you practice is what's in you. And so you want to make sure that we're practicing being in the light and not walking in darkness. And so here, John is really making it clear to us, we can have fellowship with him, but we can't do that if we've already decided to be in darkness. So whatever else happens in our life, I got to decide I'm going to walk in the light. I got to decide I'm going to live a way that God is pleased with. You might not please everybody. In fact, you may not please anybody. But if God is pleased with you, you please the only one you need to be worried about. Jesus Christ says, don't worry about somebody that can hurt your feelings or they can hurt your body, but they can't do anything to your soul. You need to worry about the one that can hurt your feelings, your body, and your soul. That one is Jesus our Christ. And if we will please him, if we will honor him and have fellowship with him, fellowship means that we're able to walk together. We care about each other. We want to be a strength to each other. We want to bless each other. And God calls us to be in fellowship with one another. Be where you can be a blessing. Be where you can try to encourage, or you can try to strengthen. You can do what you are able to do to help somebody else. You can't do everything, but you can do some things. If nothing else, you can offer a word of prayer for them. And so make sure you're in fellowship with God the light, and then God will show you what else you can do to be a blessing to others. Here, Jesus Christ speaks to this Apostle John, and he declares first that God is light. And the second thing he says is that if we fellowship with Jesus the light, then we don't walk in darkness. But if we do walk in darkness, then we're lying about the fellowship with the light. It's important for us to make sure we walk with our Christ in the light of Jesus Christ. Let me get to the next thing he says, this third part of your outline. Next, if we say we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with him and him, Jesus, and with one another. We have fellowship with one another. Now, this becomes a challenge. The seventh verse, I broke it down to two parts. If we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another. This, my brothers and sisters, is important. You need to have fellowship with some other believers. When you have fellowship with other believers, you actually get to see whether or not you actually are in the light. If the only one that's determining that you're in the light is you, nobody else sees your light but you. You got co-workers and neighbors, you got classmates, you got people that you're around, and nobody sees the light but you. Then, my brothers and sisters, I want you to know that there's something is amiss with your walk in the light. What happens is light, especially when it's dark, always shines. And so if you're walking in the light, then your light should be shining, because this still is a dark world. And the people that walk in the light, you can tell they just different from other people. When I go into 7-Eleven, and I go almost every day because I like to get the newspaper from there. And when I go in, I can tell if some other people that come in, they have alcohol on their breath. Some of them I don't get that close to, but I can tell they are a little tipsy. And some of them, especially when the lottery gets to close to $1 billion, they get angry with the register people because they're not moving fast enough. They wanna get their lottery ticket. And I've been in the line where they even say what they're going to do with the money. 150 dollars on lottery tickets. The man outside begging for $1. You can't give him $1. But you just spent $150 on lottery tickets. And you're mad that the lottery man took too long to get to you. I said, something's not right about that light. That light is not shining in this dark world. We need to make sure that I'm not against you getting your lottery ticket. That's up between you and your God. Make sure you pay your tithes, but that's up to you and God. But what you want to make sure is that you really let the light of Christ shine in everything that we do. My grandmother's sister, I lived with her when I was in Chicago, I first moved to Chicago. My Aunt Georgia, she lived to be 101. And her cousin, which was my grandmother, this is my grandmother's first cousin, and they were like sisters. They grew up in the same household, and they both lived to be 101. Aunt Georgia was maybe 5-6 years older than my grandmother, so Aunt Georgia passed first at 101. 5-6 years later, my grandmother passed at 101. But my Aunt Georgia, she's the only one that I knew that called my grandmother by her nickname. I'm not going to tell you, but... She called her by a nickname, and she was the only person in the world that did it, because she was the only one that knew the nickname from when they were back in Mississippi. My grandmother moved to Kentucky, where I was born, and met my grandfather, and they got married. And nobody in Kentucky knew that nickname. And so when she would speak about my grandmother and she would call about this nickname, I said, who is that? She said, that's your grandmother. That's what we called her. I said, no wonder she got rid of that name. I wouldn't be. But she would say, when I lived with her, every day she would send me down to the grocery store to buy her some lottery tickets. She'd give me $5, get me 5 lottery tickets, and bring them back. And I did it. I guess I lived with her almost a year. So for a year, I was going to get the lottery tickets for my Aunt Georgia, bring them back to her. She never won that year. I mean, I said, can you at least win a bubble gum's worth or something? But she never won anything for the whole year. So when I moved out and I started living on campus then, and she called me and says, you know, I hit the lottery. I think she maybe won $100 or something like that. I said, you done spent $500 on tickets, and you win $100. And she said, but that's not what I'm calling you about. I'm calling you about finally God is bringing me some good luck because you out the house. She said, once I got out the house, she said, I hit the lottery. I said, Aunt Georgia, you missing the point. I brought light to your house. And she says, now that I'm not in the light, God has let me hit the lottery. I said, well, you just got lucky, but don't depend on luck. You need to be depending on God. Do you not know that I just was there 1 year, but after my year with my Aunt Georgia, she started going back to church again. And she went back to church. She was about 95, 96 when I moved in. And then I stayed there 1 year. And then after that, all the way up to age 101, she went to church. It was only 2 blocks from her house, but she hadn't been in 10 years. But I started sharing with her the importance of being in church, the importance of having the fellowship with believers. And when I moved out, she said, listen, this is going to be your last week here. Let's go to church together. And we went up to her church the first time. In fact, the only time I've been to her church. I haven't been there since. But when she went, she said she saw people she hadn't seen in years. She saw the love of God at work in that church. She felt the warmth from that church. And she started going at 96 and went all the way up to 101. I was out of town when she passed. I had moved from the summer. I had moved back to Kentucky. And I missed my Aunt Georgia's services. I came back after her service, but my grandmother was still living. I came back to help clean out her place and to share with her closer relatives, because I was a way distant relative, but I was just helping them. And I don't want nothing of her. I just want to be a help to her family. And they gave me a program of the services, and they told me, Aunt Georgia says that she was going back to church. She called me her nephew because of her nephew. She says, because I never missed a Sunday. She wouldn't go, but I went every Sunday. I never missed. And I had to catch the bus to get to my church. She just had to walk 2 blocks. And they had a bus that would come and pick her up even for those 2 blocks. So she didn't really have to walk. She chose. She was able to walk. She was walking at 101. So she was able to walk. She just had decided not to walk. And then after I started, I still would have prayer with her. I still would read the scripture to her. We would even sing together. Can you imagine 2 people that can't sing singing together? But God was in our midst. And it is important for us, regardless of a person's age, you want to make sure you let them know the Spirit lives. The Spirit of God lives. And that's what fellowship is. It's allowing the Spirit to live in your life. I said to my brother who's deceased, I said to him before he passed away, he asked me to do something I thought was not right. I said, no, I'm not going to do it. I don't think it's right. And I said, this is a promise I made to our dad. I told my dad, and I said this to my brother about a week before he died, I said to him, I promised my dad that if I do anything wrong, I would never involve my brothers or my sisters in it. If I'm going to do wrong, but it's not going to involve my brothers or my sisters. And when I became a Christian, I said to my God, if I do wrong, I won't involve none of my Christian brothers or none of my Christian sisters. If I'm going to do wrong, I'm going to do wrong by myself. Go to Las Vegas where everybody do wrong, but a lot of Christians will end up doing wrong because they were led wrong by another Christian. Don't lead nobody into drugs or into drinking. Don't lead nobody into pornography or anything that is not right. Don't lead anybody that way. If you gotta do wrong, then find you a dark spot to do it by yourself. Don't involve another brother or another sister, because you might come back and into the light, but they might be in darkness forever. This scripture tells us if you're going to walk in the light, then make sure you fellowship with the light and do not do anything in the dark. Don't have any fellowship with the dark. And God forbid, please don't lead nobody else into the dark. I hope that you will decide you won't do wrong. But if you decide you're going to do something wrong, don't pull nobody else into that. You could crush a soul. You could kill a soul. That's always wrong. Lead people to the light. Do not lead anybody into wrong. Our churches would be better places if we decide I'm not going to lead anybody wrong. We need to make sure we are fellowshipping with the light. Well, here's what it says here. If we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another. That fellowship with one another should strengthen us. It should make us better. And not only should it strengthen us, it also should strengthen the other person. A person with you in fellowship with you, they ought to be stronger because of you. They ought to be more light in their life because you're in their life. We want to try to encourage. We want to try to strengthen. We want to try to lift up. Live in the light and have fellowship with the light. Let me get to the last thing. I'll be finished for this morning. Went a little longer than I wanted to. Here's the last thing, and it's a fourth part of the outline. We have fellowship with one another, as he says here in verse 7, and the latter part of verse 7 says, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins. We have fellowship also, I want you to write this in, the blood of Jesus Christ. Fellowship with the blood of Jesus Christ. It cleanses us from all sins. If you have fellowship with the blood of Christ, the fellowship with the blood of Christ always, somebody say always, it always cleanses us. I'm being cleansed every time I have fellowship with this Christ. His presence cleanses us. His persona cleanses us. His spirit cleanses us. His blood cleanses us. We need to have fellowship with this blood of Christ, because the blood of Christ is always cleansing us, and it cleanses us from all sins. The devil has to, remember Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. The devil has to get behind you when you're fellowshipping with Christ. When Jesus says, get behind me, the scripture says, and Satan left him for a season. He had to leave. And when you and I are fellowshipping with our Christ, the devil got to leave. He can't stay in that fellowship. He can't stay in that light. And so if we will walk in the light, if Jesus Christ is in the light, then we have fellowship with his blood, and his blood cleanses us. You have not seen. Eyes, the Bible says, have not seen, and ears have not heard, nor has it entered into our mind what God has for us if we will fellowship with him. You don't know the power that you have. It is an amazing power. It is a cleansing power. It is a power to pick up a bowed down head. It's a power to wipe the tears from our eyes. It's a power to help us to live in a way that's pleasing to our God. It is amazing power. And that amazing power comes through the walk with Jesus Christ. You will walk in the light, and you will see it's a beautiful light. And you'll see the dewdrops of mercy, they shine bright. And you'll see them shining all around you by day and by night. Jesus, he's still the light of the world. He still cleanses our soul. He still makes us whole. We need this Christ. He is the light. I'm going to stop right there. Will you stand with me? Maybe somebody here today wants to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ.